Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're rocking and rolling here with on the Small Business Advocate Show with Tommy Chuchel. Spending some platters for you here. Glad you're here. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, the frustrated disc jockey. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. We're having a great visit with Charles Whelan, a professor at Dartmouth College, author of many books, including Naked Economics. That's one of my favorites in my library. Charles, thanks again for being here. We're talking about the national debt, a bomb, really, that's going to be going off. And so we got a couple of, there's a couple of issues. Anybody, every small business owner listening to you right now, Charles, understands that there are two pressure points in a loan that we would make with a bank, for example. Number one, we have to service the debt every month. Number two, the debt's going to come due and payable eventually. So if we've got a term loan, let's say we borrow money for 180 days for some kind of improvement or taking advantage of an opportunity with some business. Well, the bank's going to say, okay, we'll loan you that money for 180 days. It's going to be due and payable back in 180 days, but in the meantime, you got to pay monthly interest payments. So you do that. So you got two pressure points. America doesn't have much of a due and payable pressure point right now, or a debt service pressure point. But either one of those could put us into a tailspin, couldn't it?
It could, and we're actually feeling the pressure point on debt service, but people aren't aware of it, which is that debt service is climbing, as of course it does when you take on more and more debt, and it is slowly growing that at its current trajectory, it's going to become the largest line item in the federal budget. So we're spending more and more on interest payments. Now, of course, no one's paying attention because we're borrowing a lot of money for everything else. So your taxes aren't going up and so on. But it will get to the point. Two things are going to happen. One is it starts to crowd out other spending. When 12 to 13% of federal spending goes just on interest. I mean, think about your business or your home. You don't get anything for interest. That's the rental rate on capital. And the second is, as we take on more debt, I have to believe that the real interest rate is going to tick up. So we're going to be paying more for the privilege of borrowing all that money.
Well, we already know the Fed is going to raise rates at least two more times this year. Right now it's like 175. The Fed funds rate, I think, is around 175. This is the lowest. I've been around a long time, Charles, and I'm a sort of might of a student of where we've been in terms of the economy, and even before I was around. And we're in uncharted, we have been for the last 10 years, uncharted territory with regard to low interest rates. We've never had this kind of a period before. But those days are coming to an end, I should say. And so I'm going to say my anecdotal opinion about where things have been with regard to the Fed funds rate over the last, say, 40 years, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 3.5% to 4%. Because prime rates, between 3% and 4%, I'm going to say, which makes prime for business lenders, business borrowers, which makes prime around 6%, 6% to 7%. And small businesses borrow money at prime plus. So when the government starts having to pay loans at the 3%, 4%, 5%, 6%, 7% rate, that 12% is going to go through the roof, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. It's going to trickle down. I mean, the other thing is it's unlikely that the U.S. government would ever default because these are all loans in dollars. We can always print dollars. It's a horrible scenario, but it would result in serious inflation.
Yeah.
At some point, if borrowers start to fear, or, you know, we could have some standoff. You have these threatened showdowns every once in a while, in which case you could end up technically defaulting on some debt. If under any scenario, whether it's inflation or a temporary default or something like that, if borrowers start to get concerned, then real interest rates respond almost immediately. And I think the other thing I would tell listeners is, you know, we've seen what these crises look like. People point to something like rising house prices or Greek debt, and they say, boy, this seems kind of odd, but no one's concerned about it, so it must not be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wake up one day, and it's a real problem. You don't get a memo 3 weeks before a crisis saying a crisis
right.
is coming.
That's right.
It's just suddenly people realize that they should have been worried about it last week.
Well, and then you see, right now, the U.S. government and states, Charles, are flush with cash because of the economy and because of the employment situation. I mean, people are paying taxes like never before, but you take a slowdown, you take a recession, and which could happen, which could be exacerbated by raising interest rates by the Fed, or you take a crisis of something like what we had in 2000 or 2008, you take some kind of a crisis like that or a geopolitical event, some kind of a gray swan, not a black swan, but a gray swan maybe. We don't have any extra room, any wiggle room, do we, right now?
We have no wiggle room. I mean, look around the world. There are plenty of places that geopolitical problem could come from. I mean, whether it's Iran, North Korea, Russia, Mexico, instability.
How do we solve this?
It could be any of those places.
How do we solve this? I mean,
yeah.
We know that 60%, at least 60% of our national expenditures are entitlements that can't be touched. And the other is am I right? Is it 60%? Maybe more.
It's certainly growing in that direction. I don't think I can give you the
is at least 60,
line off the top of my head.
60.
But it's the fastest growing, particularly healthcare. And it's true that we can't touch it for people who are now 67. This is a promise we made it to them. But you can certainly touch it for me. I mean, there's no reason, given longevity, that I should be retiring at 67 and a half. That's
right.
Like the new 50.
Right.
Right. So if you raise the retirement age now, you know, with 25 years notice
right.
for healthy people, and maybe there's
mm-hmm.
a carve-out for those who've worked hard jobs and aren't in physical shape to retire
right.
at that age, there are a whole bunch of things we can do. We could cap
but
Medicare spending
but
at
takes,
2%
that
growth.
That takes leadership. That takes political courage. That takes bipartisanship. And we don't have any of that in Washington right now. Quick break. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.